Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNerd Live from WGN Radio, where I'm still chewing on Roomy Spice gummies, where Chicago's tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their stories. Sitting next to me, SoMe Connect founder Alap Shah. Correct?
Absolutely.
I got it right. This
got
is
it right.
Every once in a while I get something right, which is sort of a rarity, actually, so it's even less than every once in a while. So first off, thank you so much for taking the time to come in here. What you're working on is pretty cool, and I kind of want to have a little conversation here. We learn sort of how do you come up with like an idea like this? I feel like online branding and everything in general that we're going through, everyone is their own brand. And I just think that there's like a few people who do it well, and then the rest of the people, they're just sort of, I don't know what the hell they're doing. So why don't you tell us first what the company does and how you got there and then how you saw this opportunity?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it a little bit more. You know, we kind of infuse left brain and right brain thinking. I'm a CPA, but I also love creative and strategy. So really coming from that accounting world where it's just dry numbers and consulting on risk and numbers, all of those things to me, I kept on feeling like I was looking at numbers after the fact, right? So I started thinking about how do I impact the frontline numbers, the revenue, and how do I take some of that data-driven insights and analytics that I can bring to the table with some creativity to help businesses grow. So that's kind of what SoMe does. We work with brands and organizations and people to really help them grow, you know, whether it's from a revenue, whether it's more people in the door, or whether it's some leads.
So what is you obviously coming from a CPA background, this is like totally blowing me away because I'm sitting around like CPA online branding. How did, like, what was that moment in transition where you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and just drop this. Like, are you still doing CPA stuff? I mean, obviously, if you're
no,
a company,
thank God,
you do.
No.
I think that's what we had a show last week with Sean Frelick, who talked about the fact that he was an accounting major. And I was like, thank God, no. So
God.
When was that moment that you were like, I'm moving into this? And how did, like, what did people say to you when you're thinking they're going, you know, I'm assuming you had a lot of accounting friends. What are they saying to you when you're going away from that, moving away from something that's, you know, fairly predictable, obviously, and going into something that's your own business in an area that has nothing at all to do with it?
It took me some time to kind of get over the fact that I wasn't going to be a CPA because I spent like a whole year, day and night, like studying for this exam that was going to determine my life and my job and my career.
No big deal.
I think it's a really interesting question. You know, my parents were entrepreneurs, so I saw them. They're serial entrepreneurs. They were always kind of buying, selling businesses. I grew up in that environment. And when I was going to college, I was thinking, you know what? I want something more stable. Like, I don't want to start fresh every 6 years or 10 years or 15 years. And lo and behold, I'm kind of fitting that pattern. So when I was working at Deloitte, which is kind of a big four accounting firm, I was doing a lot of consulting. I was working 80, 90 hours a week. And I was like, you know, I can work 80, 90 hours for a large company, or I can work 80, 90 hours for myself.
We always joke about this in our own like kind of startup world. Like, why would I work, you know, 40 to 60 hours a week getting paid when I could work 100 for free?
I know. And I wish someone told me that. So at the ripe age of 23, I decided to leave this awesome career that I was growing in and opened up a pair of toy stores. And so this was my really like my first foray into kind of marketing and retail. And my toy stores really worked with just toys that spark the imagination. And it really spoke to that side of me that, you know, how do I buy the right stuff and make kids smile? So that was kind of my job that I felt that I had every single day. And so for 6 years, I kind of grew it into a two-location business, great revenue. But I saw kind of, you know, peripherally, Amazon and kind of these big box stores getting into the specialty toy market. And so I had a great opportunity to sell. One of the key success factors of my business, though, was that I had built this community. And when we think about social media today, it really just comes down to it's a community. We got to create engaging content at the right time, at the right moment, and get it in front of the right people. And that's a lot of the work that I did with my stores. So, you know, it was an easy transition for me when I think about it from that perspective of my, like, arc here. And it was an easy transition. I think people still think it's crazy that I'm a CPA and can be creative, but it can be done.
I would agree. I mean, well, you know, I mean, it's funny. We make jokes about it, which is why it's sort of this generalization. But the truth is, I mean, I have to put on the financial hat running this company. Like, it's not something I just don't enjoy it. and it may not be the naturalest fit for me. So it's like every time, every minute I spend doing that, I'm not doing something that I might be better at. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a loss. If you're a person who has a natural gift to be able to handle numbers, well, first off, numbers in general is a huge part of entrepreneurship now because you've got algorithms and all this other shit that people work on. So it's important. But I do think that there's sort of this misconception that, like, lawyers, although they are evil, lawyers and accountants have to only be this, like, one side of the brain and not the other. When the truth of the matter is, if you actually do have the creative ability, you're like a double threat, which is obviously incredibly not just opportune, but it's incredibly great for your company because you have the ability to not have to hire someone to take care of stuff that usually people have to hire for. Yeah. So, and so then to your story, I guess, you know, talk about a little bit more of the backstory. Your parents, I think it's funny. We always have this debate. I have no answer for this, but we have a debate all the time about, you know, entrepreneurs, are they born or are they made? And I personally would have argued, like, I don't think I was a born entrepreneur, but I don't think that I was made entrepreneur because my family, like, parts of my family are very entrepreneurial in their own way, but not tech. But everyone in the household that I grew up in was like, you get up at, you know, 6 o'clock, you go to your normal job, you're home by 5. Like, it's, you know, there's no risk taking. That's all save, put away. And then I did the same thing out of college. I did the same track as that. I was in commercial real estate. I followed that same thing. And I just felt off. I didn't feel like I was in the right place. I didn't feel like the skill set was being used at times, but I just didn't feel right. And one day I decided to leave. I didn't know what the hell I was leaving for. And I just went to grad school. I was like, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll start messing around and things and we'll figure it out. And in there I did figure it out, but this is a natural fit. Like, I feel like when I get up in the morning and I have this, I'm in a rat race. I'm in a race and I love it. And I feel like it sounds the same thing happened to you where you're like, I saw it. I saw what entrepreneurs lived. You were the opposite of me. You saw what the entrepreneur lifestyle was like. And you're like, no, that's not for me. But then when you went and lived it, you naturally were like, ugh, not so much.
I really share with your story and find that your story really resonates with me because, you know, from two parallels, right? Like, we kind of started in different
yeah,
points.
Yeah, we started on different ends, but we said the same story, yeah.
Right? And I think to your question, are entrepreneurs born or made? It really is all about working hard at whatever it is that you do. And I think about this question about leadership too. Are leaders born or made? And I think I tell my two daughters, I have a 5 and a 2-year-old, you've got to keep on working hard.
Do they listen to you?
I hope so. I'll find out.
I was to say, because then I'll tell you if you're a leader or not. Yes. If they're not paying attention.
You make
a great point. And it's funny. It's interesting because I do think that similarly, that's a similar question. The leaders versus entrepreneurs. And the one thing that I have talked about this on our Saturday show is I think that leadership lends itself to being taught tactically. You can be taught tactics that maybe work better, that if you weren't a great leader, you weren't a leader at all, you could be turned into at least a moderate leader. There's a certain charisma or draw that great leaders all have. You just, you're in the room, people are like, oh, their eyes just look at that person. And that usually makes for, like, may still be a crappy leader, but they at least have, like, this sort of part of it down. Entrepreneurs, I still don't have an answer because I look at this and go, all of the evidence I'm seeing points to born. But it's not, you're a born entrepreneur, but it's not what you're thinking. It's not like, oh, they have creativity or they're super smart or they work really hard. I think that in order to be an entrepreneur, there's a handful of mental deficiencies that you have to have where, one, you've got this massive chip on your shoulder. Two, if you were a building wire walker, like someone who walks across building, you're the person who doesn't like nets. Mm-hmm. Like, if as an entrepreneur, I think if someone put a net under me, I'm like, get that shit out of here.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't care. Like, okay. Just go. And, you know, there's certain characteristics, and I see it in you, and I see it obviously in the work that you're doing, that when you take that attitude and you put it into like a regular person's job, it just doesn't click. It just, you're too independent. You're too free, you know, free-minded. You don't understand why there's blockades and barriers. Like, why are we stopping success in business? What are we doing?
Yeah. And agreed. All of those things I agree with. And I think it's empathy and curiosity that entrepreneurs have, right? Too, or at least entrepreneurs and leaders share those qualities. For me, when I think about taking risks, it's because I'm always asking questions. Like, when I first started 6 years ago, SEO was like a bad word. Search engine optimization was like the snake oil of our industry. But, you know, I was super curious about it. I thought, hey, let me see what this is about. Let me learn about it. Let me try it out on my own brand. And, you know, today we show up for Chicago Social Media Agency, and it's a very powerful rank to have. I've gotten some amazing clients because of that ranking. So a lot of what I do, a lot of the risks I take is because of that initial curiosity or asking questions, and then also just reaching out for help, right? Yeah. Like it's being here. It's being in the community. It's not reinventing the wheel. Because as an entrepreneur, while you're taking tons and tons of risks, I think you and I, we take calculated risks too, right?
I think almost all of them are still calculated. Yeah. I think it may look crazy. I've said this a ton of times. A lot of work goes into looking this unprepared. Yep. Like it's literally like a lot of thinking has gone into trying to make sure that everything I'm doing is somewhat calculated. It may look like I made a decision right here in front of you, but the truth is I made like 400 decisions up to this point that made it to where this was a really easy decision.
Likewise. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is awesome. I wish we would have had more chance to like just talk about this. We'll have to have you come back on the show or come back on the Saturday show. I'll keep you in mind on Saturday because I feel like it'd be great to have you come in and just talk about what it's like to be. I think your story is more, it's even more fascinating than I knew. I think it's unique to have someone who is born into an entrepreneurial family and then kind of rebucks and then comes back like, okay, let's go back. My bad.
Like with your hat in your hand.
It's like, okay, my bad. I just didn't want to do what you do. I still want to do my own thing. This is awesome. Where do people go to learn more about you and learn more about your businesses? Because I'm sure there are more than one still.
Absolutely. There are. Absolutely. Come visit www.someconnect.com.
That's
it? Look forward to hearing from you. Yeah.
You're not on Twitter like everybody else who's been on?
Thank God, no.
Oh, no. Thank God, no. We got no Twitter. That's awesome. Cool. Well, listen, this was awesome. I look forward to having you back on.
I appreciate it.
Of course. Watch this episode of More at TechNori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at TechNori or follow me at Katoon. You can't follow him because he's not on Twitter. Boom. That's a wrap.